Where do you go when you have, let's say, an ear infection or a fever? Maybe you sprain an ankle or a wrist. Ideally, that kind of thing, doctor's office. But some people have to go to the emergency room. That can cost more, it can take longer, and it can clog already strapped emergency departments. According to new data from the Center for Health Information and Analysis, Black and Hispanic residents were 60% and 110% more likely to visit the ER for non-emergency conditions, respectively. In this week's Business of Boston, we are looking what that does to our economy and to local business as well as people's health. So with us now, we're going to begin on the health side, Dr. Claire Cecile Pierre, Associate Chief Medical Officer and VP of Community Health Equity at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Dr. Claire Cecile, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I want to start on this health side. Since the beginning of the pandemic, we have had not even enough, but many conversations on Radio Boston about health equity. I'm assuming these numbers are not surprising to you, but is the magnitude surprising? 60% more likely if you're Black, 110% more likely if you're Hispanic or Latino.
My work focuses on community health and health equity, so the numbers are not surprising. They are painful to hear. They are exactly what we experience. And as a leader with lived experience of this, I'm an immigrant from Haiti, I see this in my family and I see it in our patients and in the communities we serve. Years, centuries of structural racism that have excluded people have forced us to make very difficult decisions about where to access care. The human suffering associated with this decision is not lost upon us. And so the numbers are sobering, but not surprising.
And I want to zero in on your phrase of human suffering, and you were speaking over that arc of time. But we inherently understand that there is something bad about not having good options other than going to the emergency room for a fever. So tell us a little bit about why it's problematic for the person who's sick to have to rely on an emergency department for non-emergent healthcare needs.
You know, when these decisions are made, people are doing an analysis. They are looking at their lives and they're looking at, and many of those people we think about as people who are different from us, but they are us. They are the person who works at the cafeteria and takes care of our children. They are the persons who take care of our elder family members on the night shift. So they need to have clinics that are open during the hours when they are available. And so for them, it's a difficult decision too. And so for the health system, it comes at a cost. And for them, it comes at the human cost of deciding, do I lose a shift where I won't get paid to actually get this kid taken care of? Or do I go after work in the emergency room? It ends up being the place that's open.
So we're talking in this Business of Boston segment with Dr. Claire Cecile Pierre of Brigham and Women's Hospital. And I'm going to add a second voice here. We've been talking about the health side. Let's bring in the business side. So also with us, Vasundhara Sangar, Vice President of Government Affairs at Associated Industries of Massachusetts. AIM is what it's often called. Vasundhara, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you're sitting here in Studio 2 as well, and the first thing that I'll note is that you were just nodding all the way along the way, especially in the conversation just now about I might have to miss a shift, or there's not a clinic that's available when I can go, or because I have to go and wait for a long time in an emergency room, the elder care that I'm doing so the next person can work their shift doesn't happen. This is an issue for our economy as well. Talk about that.
100%. We've seen a lot of folks and across industries in Massachusetts right now who are experiencing workforce shortages, difficulties attracting and retaining talent. And on top of that, if folks are, it's less likely for them to be in their workplace when they can be there if they're sidetracked by sickness or not receiving the care they need at the time that they need it or the place that they need it. That's going to affect overall business operations and for manufacturers, for healthcare workers themselves. It's really, again, like I said, it's stuff that we're hearing at AIM from our members across industries.
So that's an interesting thing I want to pick up on. Vasundhara, this is a report that's just come out for the Center for Health Information and Analysis. But it sounds like you're saying for members of Associated Industries, this has been on the radar for a while.
Definitely that. And I would also want to highlight decreasing emergency department usage is definitely something that employers have had their finger on that pulse for a minute. We've, before the pandemic even started, tried to coalesce a group of employer members to really talk about the issue of why emergency departments are used at such high rates, and what we can do in terms of educating our employees and educating our own networks about what other types of care are available to them, because that is, at the end of the day, going to drive down costs on all of us and allow for a more accessible pool of work.
So the headline here that we're talking about is the disproportionate need to use emergency rooms for non-emergency care among Black and Hispanic residents in Massachusetts. 60% more likely if you're Black, 110% more likely if you're Hispanic. But also the research, Dr. Claire Cecile, demonstrates that if you have lower what's called socioeconomic status, if you're lower income, that can be true for you as well. And of course, what we're talking about is already being vulnerable and then not having the resources and access to solve a problem that amplifies your vulnerability because it's your health. Is that fair?
That is fair. And, you know, the study actually also includes gender. So women were more likely, and different abilities, those who reported having physical, mental, or other difficulties that decreased their access, and therefore they used the emergency room more. We at Mass General Brigham understand this, and about 2 years ago committed to a United Against Racism strategy. And we realized that these took centuries, as we've said, to get to where we are. And it had to be system-wide across our academic medical centers, our community hospitals, our specialty hospitals, our community health centers. We all had to say that we're going to look at three major areas. Who we are, diversity, equity, access, and belonging. Do we understand and do we have people across the system that are committed to making sure that every patient gets the same experience and the best outcome? And then we had to look at the patients we serve and what their experience actually is. And these are difficult and sensitive conversations. Going to our specialists and going to our, of course, our ER and other hospital parts of the hospitals and making sure that our community centers have the right language, access for the patients, the right hours for the patients, and extending and adjusting as needed. And then lastly, outside of our walls, to the communities that are near us and that we serve, and really understanding the upstream community health impact that we can do. And so we have committed in all three areas, from mobile services to digital access to care. Many people now get their care through a phone call, through a video call. And that is actually an equity issue, because if I'm going to lose pay, losing half a day to get access to care is a big deal for me. So having a 20-minute where I can step away from work and actually talk to my provider.
Literally on a break at work, for example.
Exactly. And so we're investing in efforts that will address all three of these areas.
So Vasundhara Sangar, one of the things that strikes me as I'm hearing Dr. Claire Cecile talk about this is, traditionally, somebody might say, well, wait, that means there's an unmet market opportunity here. Culturally appropriate, easily available where the demand is, at hours that people can access it. We have solved such business problems, at least to some extent, other places. Now, I understand Dr. Claire Cecile's point about hundreds of years of distrust and marginalization, and that is a big nut to crack. Mm-hmm. But do we have a failure in the market to meet a legit paying demand as well?
I think that that's definitely an interesting insight. But I do think that a lot of various sectors of the healthcare economy are becoming more and more aware of these. Really, it's not that we haven't been looking at the gaps that exist in the care that's delivered, but that it's COVID-19, as it has with a lot of other issues, really exacerbated the problem here. And it really brought it to the forefront and made sure that folks were paying attention. And I'm proud to say that AIM was one of the companies that really stood up and wanted to say, how can we start collaborating and having these communications across the healthcare industry sectors? We have providers, we have carriers, we have big pharma, we have folks that we'd like to have at the table to have these conversations. And we have seen a lot of movement happening both between providers and carriers who are working together to see if they can create incentive-based models for payment in terms of incentivize reducing that inequity that we see in how care is delivered. And it's a lot of data collection, it's a lot of reporting, and it's a lot of collaboration and coming together to say that we have such different pieces of the pie. And like you said, this is such an open opportunity. And we know that it's better for all of us if we're collectively focusing on these goals. So what is it that we can do, and how can we work with policymakers to make that happen?
Do you have a number on this of any kind?
I don't.
Would it be hard to figure that out?
I mean, that is definitely a goal of ours. And again, that open communication and collaboration and making sure that we have all the sectors that are represented within AIMS membership and folks that are making these decisions for us in the State House and in Washington are educated on this.
And Dr. Cecile Pierre, Claire Cecile Pierre, do you have a number on this?
You know, it's great you raise this because you may be aware of the Health Equity Compact, where
yes,
over 55 leaders, black and brown leaders across the state have come together, healthcare leaders, have come together to advocate for policies that will be transformational but respond to our urgent needs, as well as make sure that within our institutions, like you are saying, that we're collaborating and increasing health equity. One of the main things that they start with is data and measurement. Michael Curry, who I'm sure you know well,
he announced the compact here on Radio Boston.
Yes. And so you know that he talks about this, and he looked at this study and said, well, this study is pointing to exactly why we at the compact continue and have to do our work, which is that when it comes to equity, you either pay now or you're going to pay greater later. And so the thought is that one of the mandates, one of the areas that we really want to focus on is to make sure that we understand and study the costs of inequities, both in terms of lives lost, but also economic opportunities, as you were mentioning, in addition to interventions that start providing care at the communities locally in culturally appropriate ways.
And Vasandra Sangar of Associated Industries, when we get better at this, when we have better access, when we have more equitable care, when people can more easily in the realities of their workday receive non-emergent care places other than emergency departments in an affordable ways. What becomes possible in the Massachusetts economy that's not possible today or less possible today?
I think the economic mobility that we really want to generate and create for, like we said, underserved residents, underrepresented residents in the state is one of the biggest things that we can look forward to when someone is able to say, hey, I have a tickle in my throat and I know where to go versus waiting until it's so much worse. That's going to help them retain their health. That's going to help them retain just peace of mind, quality of life. And investing in the health of our communities is going to help folks feel more capable and able to expand outside of those communities. And I've seen a lot of AIM members trying to diversify their workforces for the same reasons. We want to get more faces in here. We want to get more experiences in here so we can talk about how do we collectively come to these solutions. So I definitely see a real opportunity for economic mobility and prosperity once we have a better idea of how to get this care to the people when they need it and where they need it, and so they can move out of their communities and their communities can be better resourced.
I have no idea if either of you can answer this question, but do either of you know, Doctor, the people that are at the tables you're talking about, and Vasandra, the people that are at the tables you're talking about, do we know if any of those people are together at any tables?
I mean, MGB is an AIM member, so we've definitely been speaking to
Mass General Brigham,
yes. And so we've been talking, we've definitely been collaborating on their initiatives, and we have a number of members who are also on the Health Equity Compact, including the League of Community Health Centers and Dr. Michael Curry and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts. So we definitely have overlap within the healthcare sector and the industries that are talking about this and keeping a pulse on specifically the racial issues.
Completely agree. And this is why we think this moment is incredible. We now have leaders who are skilled and experienced, of course, but also have lived experience, which adds new perspective, and who are coming together towards one set of health advocacy and policies. And we have health systems like Mass General Brigham investing and partnering with community leaders in a different way, in a bigger way. And so this is a hopeful time, but these numbers really need to change, and we're all committed to doing that.
All right. That is Dr. Claire Cecile Pierre, the Associate Chief Medical Officer and VP of Community Health Equity at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and Vasandra Sangar, Vice President of Government Affairs at Associated Industries of Massachusetts. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.